Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom, I don't know, I think it's Yom Revi'i.
Is Wednesday.
Especially the Vilna Gaon's minhag is not to say the Shir Shel Yom throughout Chag. There are special, different Tehillim each day. You're supposed to just say Hayom Yom, whatever, but not connect it to the regular Tehillim. Because he holds that you only say one, and the Beit HaMikdash, there was only one Tehillim each day. So he has a separate one for the first day of Sukkot, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and now, and Shmini Atzeret, and now we get back to Yom Revi'i. So it's Yom Revi'i, the 23rd day of Tishrei 5786, corresponding to October 15th. And I have a modified tefillah, which we'll talk about. I didn't do it in Hebrew, I did it in English, but we'll see how it works. Of course, I have to call it up. Here. Got it. Okay, so we start with a Tehillim of thanks and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the successes so far over our enemies, and that includes the return of the hostages. And when we say thank you and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are not removing from the picture all the other humans that are involved in this process. Most notably, President Trump and the government here and the army here, but this is directed at a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we'll do Tehillim Kuf, which is Mizmor LeTodah, Hariu LaAdonai Kol HaAretz, Ivduat Adonai BeSimcha, Bo'u LeFanav Bir Nana, Du'u Ki Adonai Hu Elohim, Hu Asanu V'lo Anachnu Amo V'Tzon Marito. Bo sha'arav betodah, chatzerotav betehillah, hodu lo baruchu shemo, ki tov Adonai le'olam chasdo, v'ador v'ador emunato. And Tehillim of petition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his generous help in our battles against our enemies, and these definitely continue. Big question mark, we'll talk a little bit about it in a moment. But Tehillim Kaf, Lam Natzeach, Mizmor LeDavid, Ya'ancha Adonai Biyom Tzara, Yisagev Hashem, Elohei Ya'akov, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Umitzion, Yisadecha, Yizkor Kol Minchotecha, Vi'olatecha, Yedashna Sela, Yiten Lecha Chilavavecha V'cholatzatcha, Yimalei, Nirananah B'Yeshuatecha, V'Shem Eloheinu Nidgol, Yimalei Adonai Kol Mish'alotecha, Ata yadati ki hoshiya Adonai mishicho yanehu mishmei kodsho bigvurot yeisha yimino elev orechev v'elev asusim v'anachnu v'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir hema karu v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'nitodad Adonai hoshiya hamelech yaneinu v'yom koreinu du kuf lamed. Shir ha'ma'alot mi'ma'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima b'koli ti'enaz necha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah Adonai mi'ya'amod. Ki imecha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi'shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut v'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. And because Mark is celebrating Simchas Torah in a far, far away place, I will say this on my own. Mishaberach Avotenu Avram Yitzhak V'Yakov, Huyvarechet Chayalei Tzava Haganali Yisrael, ואת אנשי כוחות הביטחון העומדים על משמר ארצנו וערי אלוהינו והלוחמים בעדנו מן הלבנון ועד מדבר מצרים ומן הים הגדול עד לבוא הערבה ובכל מקום שהם ביבשה, באוויר ובים. ייתן אדוני את אויבינו הקמים עלינו ניגפים לפניהם. הקדוש ברוך הוא ישמור ויציל את חיילינו מכל צרה וצוקה ומכל נגע ומחלה, וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם, ידבר שונאינו תחתיהם, ויתרם בכתר ישועה ובעטרת ניצחון, ויקוים בהם הכתוב, כי אדוני אלוהיכם, ההולך עמכם להילחם לכם עם אויביכם, להושיע אתכם, ונאמר אמן.
אמן.
This is what I came up with before translating it into Hebrew. May Hashem facilitate the return of the bodies of the murdered hostages so that they can rest in Kivrei Yisrael until Tchiyat HaMeitim. And you could say Amen to that, even though it's in English. Achenu kol Beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ha'omedim bein bayam, bein bayabasha uvein ba'avir. המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתא בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. There are a lot of people who for a long time now have been lighting an extra Shabbos candle for the chatufim who are not able to light candles. And I sort of decided for Simchat Torah, Monday, get lost in the days of the week, Monday candle lighting time, that we finally took away that third candle that Debbie lights. And yet the ribbon, yellow ribbon, which we had hanging in the sukkah and we have on our front door, and Debbie wears one around her neck. I mean, that we're not taking off until more bodies are brought back. I believe that there are some bodies that will never be found, which is very sad. And specifically in our family, Debbie's cousin's grandson is one of the chayalim that was killed on October 7th, captured, taken into as a hostage and killed, but the family never found out for about a year and a half, and still that body is still not back. So they're hostage also, and not saying that everybody has to do the same thing that that we do. Well, that I suggest, but I'm just saying it from a personal side, and we're not out of the woods. I thought of a mashal, which is not a very good one. I mean, not a very pleasant one to think about. Picture a kid who gets his driver's license and goes out with a family car and a bunch of his friends. And they're talking on their cell phones while he's driving, and he's on the cell phone, and maybe they're drinking beer, and they get into a bad smash up, and he needs surgery and physiotherapy and a further surgery to correct a situation that didn't go well the first time. And it was a long, long schlep of, let's say, 2 years. And he's finally 100% healthy. No ill effects anymore of his injuries in the accident. So the family celebrates. And it's truly a joyous celebration. But it would be really folly, a big mistake, at some point not to review the situation that got him into this problem in the first place. It wasn't an accident that was inevitable. He was a major cause of the accident that injured him. And yes, his family, he and his family are happy that he's fine now, but you can't ignore what happened in the beginning. I listened to a lot of speeches on Monday, as I'm sure most of us did, and very impressed with Ohana from the Knesset and Bibi and even Lapid and President Trump and whoever else spoke. I think that was mostly them. And it was a time to celebrate the return of the hostages, but I don't think we have the luxury of ignoring the fact that there were signs from before October 7th that there was trouble coming, and those signs were ignored. Those signs were stuffed in a drawer someplace, and people have to be accountable for it. As many people as will take credit for the return of the hostages, a lot of them will not take credit, if you could call it that, for screwing up in the first place. And to me, that took away from the celebration. Happy for the families, happy for the hostages, but we have a serious din v'cheshbon, as well as question marks in the coming days. I read something on the internet last night, which was, yes, we lost the PR war, public relations, genocide, accusations, anti-Semitism, this and that, but we won in the things that are important. And the guy went on and on and on about the achievements, and I found that it was too arrogant because we are not living happily ever after yet. Certainly improved to the point where I might finally open the shutters in my mahsan, in my mamad.
Nomad.
Thank you. And because I've kept them closed for the last good number of weeks, maybe a couple of months, because I didn't feel like having to close them all the time. I might let some light in here, but we're not home free yet. So we have a lot to daven for and a lot to do. Whatever our hishtadlus is, it's the government and the army, and we sort of are the government, which means we have to. They're talking about early elections, which I found interesting. And as I said, we're not out of the woods. Anyone want to comment on their own? Because this is not Divrei Torah or Shir material. This is just honest feelings of mine. Anybody? I shall move on.
The only thing I would say, am I on loudspeaker or not?
Yes.
I hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Just to say, none of them in their great humility gave a Kara Satov to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Not one of them.
Oh, you're wrong.
Why, who did?
Unfortunately, one of them did.
What, Trump?
Yep.
I knew you were going to say
Thanked
that.
the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Did he? I didn't hear the full thing. I heard some of the
And to
speak.
me, that was very significant because the God of Abraham supposedly includes
The three monotheistic religions.
but not Yitzchak and Yaakov, and he
No.
mentioned them. The others said, I think Baruch Hashem a couple of times. What's his name? Ohana put on a kippah to make a bracha on Trump, which is a proper thing to do.
Yeah, I know.
And that goes for us also. If we were to see Trump in person, there is a bracha to be recited. In
Yeah.
fact, he did not use Shem and Malchut, But halachically, you say the full bracha, Shenatan Michvodo Libasar Vadam, acknowledging that God gave honor, some of his honor, to leaders of countries, kings and queens, really, but it definitely goes for somebody like Trump. And he got away with just saying Baruch Shenatan Michvodo Lebasar Vadam. Interestingly, just for educational purposes, when you see a Jewish king or queen, a Jewish king, it's not Shenatan Michvodo, it's Shecholak Michvodo. He shares his honor, and not Lebasar Vadam, but Li-re'av, to those who revere him. And that's the bracha different. And the same thing goes for scholars, an outstanding scholar. You see the Gadol Hador, and you make a bracha, shechalak michochmato,
The
li-re'av.
wisdom.
And when you see a scholar among the nations, a great scholar, not Jewish, but an acknowledged scholar, you say, Shenatan Michochmato Lebasar Vadam. I always found those brachot to be particularly interesting.
So apart from Trump, nobody gave a Karasatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. None of the Yidden.
I don't know if that's right, because somebody said, Baruch Shechiyonu V'kimonu V'gyonu L'zman Hazeh. I think
Yeah,
they
Bill, may I comment? Let's not go down that road. It gets depressing. I mean, let us enjoy a day or two of simcha. The Baruch Hashem, Be'emet, 20 live hostages got back. We have seven back for kavura. Be'ezrat Hashem, more will come back with the pressure that they're being placed on Hamas. And
Well,
let's be happy with the situation and not go down that road. It's sad. It's sad, and it's hard
sure.
enough anyway, if I may.
I will acquiesce to your request, but I don't agree. I think it's something that that needs to be, look, let
I think we all address it at home. We wallow in it enough. The question is whether I don't know. Whatever you guys think.
no. Okay. Anybody else want to, what do you call it?
Already said my piece.
Okay.
That's enough.
Okay. Changing gears. There are two things I wanted as a takeaway from Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah. There's something that I had spoken about in the past, and I always believed, and there was something a little bit missing in it, and I found the key. It goes like this. Without getting into the whole details, 7 days of Pesach parallel the 7 days of Sukkot, or 7 days of Sukkot parallel the 7 days of Pesach, each starting on the 15th of the month, in the case of Pesach, the first month, in the case of Sukkot, the other first month. Tishrei is officially the seventh month of the year, but it's undeniable that it's also the first month of the year. So they're very parallel. And a lot of halachot make them parallel, including the eating in the sukkah on the first night, which is a chovah, like the eating of matzah, and so on. And then you have the cap to the chagim. The cap to Pesach comes after seven sevens. It's called Shavuot, but it's also called Atzeret. Atzeret means one more day to stick around and celebrate. And the case of Shavuot, it's Matan Torah that we celebrate. And in the case of Shmini Atzeret, it's also Torah, Simchat Torah. And it makes them very parallel. And there's also Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur that gets in there, but let's leave that out. What was bothering me until a couple of days ago is that Simchat Torah is a much later addition to Shmini Atzeret in Chutz La'aretz the following day, in Eretz Yisrael the same day, but it's not Mekori. Originally, Shmini Atzeret is called in the Torah by Yom HaShmini, Atzeret Yehi Lachem, We call it in davening at Yom HaShmini Chag Ha'atzeret HaZeh, or at Chag Shmini Atzeret HaZeh, depending on if you daven Ashkenaz or Sfard. And it also is a celebration of Torah, but as I said, that came later. That came much later. We're talking about maybe less than 1,000 years ago, as opposed to 2,000 or 3,000 years with the receiving of the Torah and the Chagim. So the parallel to me was a little weak because we assumed that we're talking about Simchat Torah as a parallel to Matan Torah. But I found a nice little Dvar Torah that quoted a Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit that said, Yom HaGeshamim is like the day that we received the Torah. Now, Yom HaGeshamim, rain day, is considered an allusion to the Yom, the day that we pray for rain, which is Shavuot, Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeret. And if there is a comparison between the day that we pray for rain and the day that we receive the Torah, then it goes back and makes a very, very neat parallel between Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, even without the obvious addition of Simchat Torah. Now, water, Geshem, with the word Gashmiut, same root, is considered the physical counterpart to the spiritual qualities of Torah. There's a statement that's repeated in many different contexts, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. When the Torah, for example, tells us that after Kriyat Yamsuf, Bnei Israel traveled, and after 3 days, they went 3 days without water. What came from that is the practice to lane from the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays, so that you don't have 3 days without spiritual water, namely without reading the Torah. And there are a lot of other connections. The beginning of Ha'azinu spoke of Tizal Katal Imrati, and that one pasuk has four different types of water, dew, and a shower, and a regular rain, and a heavy rain, all Moshe Rabbeinu comparing that to his lessons of Torah and mitzvot. So they're very much connected, and that's why that statement in the Gemara was very nice, in my opinion, that the day of Geshamim is like the day that we receive the Torah. So I wanted to say that. One last takeaway, a very short vort, probably a Hasidic vort. I don't remember who said it. But if you look at the words Simchat Torah, we usually think of our joy in celebrating the Torah. But Simchat Torah is the joy of the Torah. So it's not enough that we are happy and joyous with the Torah. The Torah, so to speak, has to be joyous and happy with us. And take that wherever you want it to go. Next. Mashiv haruach u'morid hageshem, which we started. I'll tell you an anecdote of sort of a weird story. Back in end of December of 1974, that turned out to be 7 years before I came on Aliyah, but at that time I was thinking of Aliyah already, and I came on a pilot trip to Israel, and a friend of the family who worked for Misrad HaChinuch had set me up with eight different interviews. in a week's period of my trip, which was very helpful. Seven of them were in Yerushalayim. The first one was in Be'er Sheva. I don't know anyone who knows the name, but the Rav, the principal of the school, B'nai Akiva Yeshiva in Be'er Sheva, was a Rabbi Silbert, Zichrono Livracha, a fine, fine man and Rav. And unlike the interviews I had in Yerushalayim, this was before Israel Center existed, and I was thinking only in terms of teaching here, a regular school. And all my interviews in Yerushalayim were very cordial, and that was about it. The one in Be'er Sheva was extremely friendly and long. I think I was there 3 hours in the first interview, and he asked me if I could come back on another day of my trip to give shiurim ledugma, and that included one Gemara shiur and one math lesson in Hebrew. So, because I wanted to teach both Limudei Kodesh and math. So the Gemara shiur was no problem. I went to the only place in Yerushalayim at the time where you could get photocopies, and that was InstiPrint on King George, which still exists. And now there are a lot of other places you could get photocopies. I photocopied a page of Gemara, and my topic was Mashiva Ruach Morid HaGeshem. And then I really didn't know that things were a little different in Israel, which is why I'm telling you the whole story. So I went through the whole thing, took up the whole period. By the way, I found out that the reason I was asked to give Shiurim LeDugma was not just part of my interview, but a whole bunch of guys were taken from Miluim at the time, and they had classes that weren't covered by teachers. So they figured they'd get a couple of classes covered by somebody. Anyway, I went through the whole thing. And afterwards, and I'm glad he didn't do it in front of the students, afterwards he puts his arm around me and said, "You made one tiny little error, not taking into account the minhag in Eretz Yisrael." So I'll tell you what I'm talking about, because this is like my tikkun for the mess up back 50 years ago. 50 years ago. That's a long time. No, more. What am I talking about? 74? 75, let's say 75, 85, 95, 05, 15, 25, 50. I have a little trouble with the counting there. Pretty good math, but I don't count so well. Anyway, it goes like this. We in Eretz Yisrael follow the minhag that when we don't say Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, we say Morid HaTal. And that is different from the way that I grew up. I don't know about you, in the States, where I daven Nusach Ashkenaz, and the minhag was not to say anything when you didn't say Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem. Was Ata Gibor Li'olam Hashem Mechayim Etim Ata Rav LaHoshia Mechalkel Chayim BeChesed. That was the whole summertime program. Nusach Sfard and Nusach Ari, I think, did say Morid HaTal, but Nusach Ashkenaz didn't. And it has some interesting ramifications. For example, in Chutz La'aretz, the minhag is to say Tfilat Geshem on Shmini Atzeret as part of the repetition of the Amidah. So what do you do in the private Amidah of Musaf on Shmini Atzeret? There is no way, if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz in the States, for a gabbai to clap. I'm sorry, I'm talking about now on Pesach time. You can't take it away. You could only clap and say Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, so that's not a problem. But what I did say at the time was that if you forget to say Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, you have to repeat the Amidah, which is not so in our minhag in Eretz Yisrael. Because a person who now forgets to say Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem probably said Morid HaTal. And that acknowledges God and his involvement in the weather, even though it's the one who gives dew, as opposed to the one who causes it to rain. It involves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we picture HaKadosh Baruch Hu being involved in that aspect of nature, and therefore, by leaving out Mashiv HaRuach HaMoreid HaGeshem, which you're supposed to say now, it's not a fatal flaw in the Amidah like it would be if you didn't say anything instead of Mashiv HaRuach during the summertime. You follow? If you don't, ask me, because it's an important point. Now, the fact of the matter is that the original rule is Mashiv HaRuach HaMoreid HaGeshem during the period from Sukkot, after Sukkot until Pesach, and nothing the rest of the year. Morid HaTal came later. I don't know who instituted it, where it came from. It evolved in different nuschaot, but it's not Mekori. So the Gemara doesn't know about it, and the Gemara speaks only about Mashiv HaRuach HaMoreid HaGeshem, and says, if you leave that out of the Amidah, you have to repeat. And at the beginning, if you're not sure whether you said it, you have to repeat. But we don't. We don't have to. And if you don't have to, you're not allowed to. Because we can assume. A lot of this is when there's a suffix, question mark. You don't have access to a video replay and an audio replay of the way you davened. If you did, you would know whether you said it or not. But if you finish the Amidah and you can't remember if you said Mashiv HaRuach HaMoreid HaGeshem, we in Israel can leave it alone. We don't repeat the Amidah because of the assumption that a habit has formed over the last 6 months to say Morid HaTal. Atah Gibor Le'olam Hashem Mechayim Meitim Atah Rav LeHoshiya Morid HaTal Mechalkel Chayim B'Chesed. All we have to do is replace Morid HaTal with Mashiv HaRuach HaMoreid HaGeshem. And even if you don't remember to do that, the Amidah stands. Again, I say, as opposed to those who don't put anything in the summertime. And if any of you have an art scroll sitter that was made for Chutz La'aretz or a machzor, you will not find Ashkenaz, you will not find Morid HaTal, unless somebody pencils it in, which is what we do. And Art Scroll finally came out with an Israeli version of their Seder, which has Morid HaTal for the summertime. And a lot of them will say, Be'eretz Yisrael Omrim Morid HaTal. You should also know, just for your information, that the Vilna Gaon Shita is to say Mashiv HaRuach UMorid HaTal during the summer, and that switches to Mashiv HaRuach UMorid HaGeshem. But Mashiv HaRuach stays the whole year. We don't do that. I mean, we, meaning those who are not total devotees to the Vilna Gaon, which I am, but not totally. I always use the example that I still use three matzot for the Seder, and the Gra says only two. So since I'm not ready to give up one of those matzot, I don't have to do every single thing of the Vilna Gaon, but I do a lot. And one of them is, I don't say Mashiv HaRuach UMorid HaTal during the summertime. I ask somebody who does say that what he does when he's the chazan. And he says, watch my lips. He mouths it very quietly, and you'll hear a little pause. Atah Gibor Le'olam Hashem Mechayim Meitim Atah Rav LeHoshiya UMorid HaTal, and he says it, but he won't say it out loud, because once you say the words Mashiv HaRuach, people are going to correct you. And of course, I'm not talking about V'tein Talu Matar Livracha. For us, that's a discussion for 2 weeks from today. Adding the petition for rain. What we added now is the mention of God as the rainmaker. That's what Mashiva Ruach Moed HaGeshem says. It's not asking for rain because it's in the first part of the Amidah, which are brachot of description of God and praise, but not request. That's why we say it on Shabbos and Yom Tov also. And we only ask for it 15 days after Shmini Atzeret, which comes out to the eve of the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. In Chutz La'aretz, they don't say V'tein Talu Matali V'racha until Ma'ariv of December 4th. And it's always fascinating that we use a Hebrew date and in Chutz La'aretz they use a secular date, which is more accurate because seasons and rain follow the secular calendar, not the Jewish calendar, if you understand what I mean. You know, the secular calendar of 365 and a quarter days in a year means that you the cycle of the seasons, fall and winter and spring and summer, basically follow the secular calendar, not necessarily the Jewish calendar. That's why people say, oh, Sukkot was a little early this year, or Sukkot was a little late this year. The truth is, Sukkot is always on time. It's always on the 15th of Tishrei, never fails. But we think in terms of the weather, and that also reminds me of one of my favorite halachot in the Rambam. Rambam writes in Kiddush HaChodesh that one of the people that cannot participate in the decision of adding an extra month or not to a year is the Kohen Gadol. And he gives the reason. Kohen Gadol will think, last year Yom Kippur came out in September and it was pleasant weather and I had to go to the mikveh outdoors five times in the course of Yom Kippur. If I vote to put in an extra month this year, next Yom Kippur is going to be in October where it's going to be chilly, and I still have to tovel five times. When I saw that the first time, I said, you're talking about the Kohen Gadol. How could a Kohen Gadol be influenced in his decision of such an important thing of adding an extra month to the year, which is part of Sanhedrin's job, by a personal feeling? And I said, yeah, guess what? Kohen Gadol is a human being. And at that moment, when I first learned that, the Kohen Gadol went from being a flat, two-dimensional picture to a real, living and breathing human being. It was a very exciting discovery. So that's Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGeshem. Geshem and Goshem, do we have to talk about? You could take either one, but it seems that there's a favoring of Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGeshem because it's part of a string in that bracha. Ata gibor li'olam Hashem, mechaye meitim ata, rav lehoshia, Mashiv HaRuach HaMoed HaGeshem, mechalkel chayim bechesed, mechaye meitim berachamim rabim. It's a whole list of the powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it doesn't get the ending of a sentence that Goshem would mean. Tirza, you wanted to say something?
I want to tell you, as I'm sorry I came late, but I totally was disoriented with time because my daughter's here and keeping Yontif, but she's not in the apartment right now. Okay. You have stopped me, prevented me from making a total fool of myself tomorrow. About 10 years ago, I was visiting Muncie. I daven Nusach Sfard usually, but I was in my friend's house in Muncie and they had an Osios Gedolos.
Sitter.
Sitter. I never even looked whether it's Sfard or Ashkenaz, but they gave it to me because it was so much easier for me to daven from. And I've been noticing the past 10 years that they don't have Moed HaTal in it. And it bothered me. You know, yesterday was for your Geshem. It bothered me, and I was tomorrow, because it's Yontif still in America. I was going to call the editor and tell him you didn't put in Maureen Hattell.
Okay, tell me now
And
if
then
it's
I was thinking about it.
Tirza. Tell me if it's Ashkenaz or Sfard. Look at the
Yeah.
first page.
It's Ashkenaz. I just looked at it only because you
Okay.
mentioned the
Okay.
difference between Ashkenaz and Sfard. I've been davening my whole life, so I probably a lot of it I've just been putting in myself. So I was gonna call, and then I was saying to myself yesterday, what do I think? They put this out years ago.
Right. You can't
How,
first person to
what can
know.
I do about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so now when you clarified it for me, and I went to look, and it was printed in Israel, but I got it in America. And you pointed out something that things for me.
Okay.
And thank you. I would have made a total fool of myself had I called.
Okay, now you'll have to do it on your own. You can't blame us. Okay. Comments, questions, let's continue. I don't know about you, but when they read the beginning of Bereshit, was it yesterday? Yeah. Yesterday, it was that feeling of, whoa, we have been on a whirlwind. Chagim, Rosh Hashanah, Seret Yimei Tshuva, Shabbos Tshuva, Yom Kippur, the days until Pesach, including a Shabbos, very hectic. I'm sure you all felt that. The building of the sukkah and the buying of the Arba Minim and the decorating of the sukkah and inviting company and cooking food and then after Yontif you cook more food and then after Shabbos Chol HaMoed you cook more food. And more company coming, and you make the mistake of saying, "Hey, today's Sunday." Oh no, it's not. It's Tuesday. Oh no, it's not. It's Wednesday. You know, and finally, Bereshit, you sort of get that feeling of okay, we're getting back to normal, but not quite. Just want to mention that we bench Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan this Shabbos. Which means Tishrei is coming to an end. Rosh Chodesh is next Wednesday and Thursday. And I don't know if you remember, but I'm sure I've said it. You take the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which was a Tuesday this year. That means Rosh Chodesh Mar Cheshvan is Wednesday, Thursday. The next Rosh Chodesh is Friday. The one after that is Shabbos Sunday, and then Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, and it just keeps going like that. Of course, you have to know whether they're going to be 2 days of Rosh Chodesh or only one. This year, they alternate without exception. The other thing I wanted to mention, besides benching Rosh Chodesh on Shabbat Bereshit, two things. Number one, Shabbat Bereshit is not just Shabbat Parshat Bereshit, pick a sedra, Vayeshev, Shabbat Parshat Vayeshev, pick another sedra, Bahar, Shabbat Parshat Bahar Bechukotai, let's say. This is more. The name of the Shabbos is Shabbat Bereshit. There's one other sedra that is named for something we read in the Torah on that Shabbat. Anybody? I'm looking for the name of a Shabbat besides Shabbat Bereshit.
Shabbat Shira.
Yes, thank you, Nurit.
Is that what?
Shabbat Shira
Shira.
is named Shabbat Shira because we read. Then there are four Shabbatot that are named for their maftir. That's easy. What are they? Shkalim, Zachor, Parah, and Achodesh. Shabbos Zachor, Shabbos Parah. And then there are four Shabbatot that are named for their Haftorah. Go ahead.
Chazon,
Say again.
Nachamu, Chazon
Nachamu are two. There are two more.
and Nachamu, Shuva
Say again.
and Shuva,
Yes.
Shabbat
Shuva, one more.
Shuva. Is Haggadah
Shabbos HaGadol,
in
Hinei,
there? Haggadah.
So Leah Lachem. You got them all. So there are two for the Parsha, four for the maftir and four for the haftorah. What you should do is use it as a riddle, or some of it as a riddle on this Shabbos, if you have company or family over, provided they didn't listen to this shiur also, and provided they didn't read my column in the Jewish press.
Oh.
I started that a good number of weeks ago, because the grandson of the original founder of the Jewish press, who was that, Tirza?
Class.
Yes. Very good, Roseanne. First name?
Shalom class. I grew up with his daughter.
Shalom class.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, there's a Greenwald family here in Mekor Chaim, and Tziona Greenberg is Greenwald is one of the editors, and she asked me if I would do a column of called Number no, Torah by Numbers. So she hit my soft spot there, and it was obvious that I would say yes. And the one number that's most significant is my salary, which is zero. But otherwise, there are a whole bunch of other numbers that I write about. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say about that. And now we could get a little bit into the parsha. There is, in the account of creation on the fourth day, reference in the same pasuk to Shnei HaMe'orot HaGedolim, the two great or big luminaries, Et HaMe'or HaGadol LeMemshelet Bayom, the big one is for ruling the daytime, Ve'et HaMe'or HaKatan LeMemshelet Balayla, the small one rules the night sky, the Et HaKochavim and the stars. Now that's not, first of all, it seems contradictory to speak of the two great luminaries and then speak of the big one and the small one in the same pasuk. So it turns out that we explain it as follows, and this has a lot of ramifications, not just from that pasuk. There are things that are absolute, and there are things the way we perceive it. If you go by absolute, the sun as a star generates a tremendous amount of energy and heat and light. The moon is dead. It does not produce any light or any heat. It reflects the light of the sun, but it reflects approximately 11% of the sunshine, which means it's a poor reflector. It's not like not like a mirror, which would reflect close to 100%. 11%, that's all. And because of the positions of the moon and the earth and the sun, we don't get full moon all the time. So to call the moon a ruler of the night sky is not very accurate, because there are nights where you don't see the moon at all, and the nights where you see a little crescent where you can't really call it lighting up the night. A full moon, yeah, it does a nice job, but the moon is not up all the time. And yesterday morning, it was in the sky in the daytime. Not ruling, the sun was ruling, but it was there and you were able to see it. My point is that the way we see things, there are no other bodies in the sky that we can call great, because Me'orot HaGedolim, physically, the way we see it, the way we perceive it, the sun and the moon are roughly the same size. Yes, the sun is brighter, but there are times where it's covered by a cloud, not completely, and it shines through, looks like a full moon. very much the same size. And we know that it's the same size because during an eclipse of the sun, the moon will just about cover the body of the sun. So the pasuk is justified, so to speak, by calling the two of them the Me'orot HaGedolim. But immediately it talks tachlis, and you can't compare them. The moon is 400 times the diameter. The sun is 400 times the diameter of the moon, which is one dimension, but if you talk about three-dimensional, you have to do 400 times 400 times 400, which is 64 million. So the sun is 64 million times greater in size than the moon. The 64 million moons would fit into the space that the sun takes up. So you certainly could understand them as Me'or HaGadol and Me'or HaKatan. And that, as I said, has ramifications. We, for example, make a bracha on a shooting star. You know how big a shooting star can be? It could be massive, but it could be the size of a pebble. If it enters the atmosphere and burns up in the right way, we will see it as a bright streak of light across the sky, where Chazal said, make the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Oseh Ma'aseh V'Reishit, even though it's a pebble, because to us, and that's the important thing, it looks like a amazing wonder of nature, and Chazal wanted us to react to that by acknowledging God's creation of the world. And then there are other things which are just not, let's say, eclipse, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. An eclipse is nothing. It's just a matter of where you're standing and how you see it, but the sun is not affected during an eclipse, only the way we see it. The moon is not affected when it goes into the shadow of the earth, only the way we see it. And Chazal, in those cases, didn't make a bracha. A rainbow. Bracha for a rainbow. A rainbow is nothing. It's water vapor through which light goes at a certain angle, depending on where we're standing, but it's impressive to us, and there's a bracha for a rainbow. And I'll ask you guys again, what's the bracha for a rainbow? How many remember? See, to me, that's an important bracha to remember, because when you see a rainbow and you don't know the bracha, by the time you go home and look it up in a sitter, you won't see the rainbow anymore. It's a triple bracha, which is interesting by itself because there were three different opinions as to what the bracha should be on a rainbow. And Chazal said, hey, you know what? We'll say them all. So it's Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. No surprise there. Zocher HaBrit V'Ne'eman BeBrito V'Kayam B'Ma'amaro. Next time we have a rainbow, or in Parshat Noach, we'll talk about more about the rainbow. So that's how I understand Shnei HaMorot HaGedolim, Me'or HaGadol and Me'or HaKatan, where in one pasuk you get the way it looks to us and the way it actually is. And as I said, that shows up in different halachic situations. And by the way, stars are like that also. A star is measured in two types of light. One is called luminosity, and that's how bright the star actually is. And the other is called magnitude, and that's how it appears to us, because some stars are very, very far away. I mean, all stars are far away, But I mean, the closest star that we can see at night is 4.3 light years, which is something like 6 trillion miles, and times that by four. But there are stars that are 100 times further away that we can see because they're so much brighter. But it doesn't matter. It matters how we see it. So that's what I wanted to share. There's a lot more, obviously, in creation and in the Parsha, but we'll leave it at that. And Amir Tzashem, Monday we'll be back to normal schedule with Achenu, Kol Beit Yisrael, wherever they are.
Bill, one question you might have answered already. Do we say the bracha still for the Shvuim?
You weren't here in the beginning, right?
I missed it. Somebody
Yeah,
called.
so look on the website. I took away the Yehi Ratzon that we used to say, and I put in something in English. If I find something in Hebrew, I'll do that also for the return of the bodies of the murdered hostages. But obviously, we don't say, please bring back the hostages because they're back.
Other than these 20, these that they released and are still in Israel, there are no other hostages all over the world.
Yeah, but that bracha was specifically for the hostages. Look, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, you can always say it's part of davening twice a week. When you put away, when you lean on Mondays and Thursdays, that's where the tefillah comes from. You could say it any time you want because it speaks of Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, Hanetunim batzara uvashivya, that are either captive or in trouble. Whether they are on land or on in the sea or in the air, Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem, and that certainly goes for everybody.
But it's interesting that the siddur has it in there, which is a siddur which is used over many, many, many years.
No, you're talking about captives, and that still exists. But if you're talking specifically about the hostages held by Hamas, which is what that was, then you don't say that anymore, but you still say Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, and you still pray for the return, for the sake of the families and the sake of the departed, that their bodies should be returned to Kever Yisrael.
Amen. Bill,
Yeah.
doesn't it say somewhere in Parshas Bereishis in Rashi, I don't remember where, about you can't, the reason the sun is bigger than the moon is you can't have two equal ruling bodies, something to that effect?
Fine. That's a medrash
That's a myth.
that the moon complained, and therefore God says, "Okay, I agree with you," and it made the moon less. But that's a conceptual thing. If even when we daven in Kiddush Levana, that Emir Tzashem in the future the moon shall be restored to its original brightness. And I don't know if that means physical or some kind of conceptual, because I don't believe that in Yemot HaMashiach nature is going to change, which means the moon will still be a dead body that reflects the light of the sun to a tune of 11%, and that's all. But it's an idea. It's a conceptual idea, and B'nai
But it was
Yisrael, as
Chazal, not Rashi.
compared to the what do you call it, the phases of the moon. Sometimes they disappear, but they're always there, and sometimes they get brighter and brighter, and sometimes they wax and they wane. But these are conceptual ideas. I don't think the reality is there of the sun and the moon. What I also found interesting, and I don't have an answer for it yet, listen to the description of the fourth day of creation. God said, "Yihi ma'orot birikiya hashamayim." Let there be luminaries, and it refers to Mor Hagat Shnei Ha'maorot Hagdolim, Me'or HaGadol and Me'or HaKatan and Kochavim, what's missing? There's no mention of Shemesh or Yoreach or Levana, which I don't understand why. So I have to look at some of the Mefarshim and see if anybody says anything. But I found that interesting. And then you also have the concept with Avraham Avinu that the Rashi says there, God took the sun out of its envelope, which means he made it extra bright so that no visitors would be traveling and bother Avraham. And then he had to change because Avraham was sitting there in order to welcome visitors, and that's why the angels came, But you have to be careful when you take a medrash and you apply it. I'll just give you one last example of that because I was surprised. There's a famous question in modern times about a surrogate mother. When a baby is conceived in the womb of one woman and transplanted, the embryo is transplanted to another woman who brings it to term and delivers it. Who is the mother? So one argument was the Midrash about Leah having conceived the boy who would become Yosef and Rachel, the girl who would become Dinah. But Leah, in compassion for her sister, who didn't want her sister to have fewer sons than Zilpah and Bilhah, prayed to God, which you're not supposed to, that it changes. And God acquiesced, and Leah was carrying Dinah, and Rachel was carrying Yosef. My point is that that would tell you who the mother is, the one who conceived, no, not Rachel, the one who carried and delivered, yes, Leah for Dinah. But the halacha is we don't take into account midrashim. You need halachic issues in order to determine that, which is a whole other complicated thing. But I like the idea that they said, yes, this is a medrash, and it might indicate how we treat it, but you don't paskin from a medrash, because midrashim are very, very often not to be taken literally, but they are figurative, and you can't paskin like that. Okay.
Okay.